Hi, this is Bria Grant, the writer and director of 12 Hour Shift, and you're listening to the commentary for the movie. You can basically press play when I press play. That's my plan, and I'm going to talk you through it. So you can listen to this whether or not you bought the DVD or the Blu-ray or the or just watching it online. Wanted to make sure it was available to everyone. So yeah. Okay, so I'm going to press play on the count of three. I'm going to say one, two, three. One, two, three. So I should start by saying we shot in a working hospital in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Jonesboro is where producer and actress Tara Perry is from. Our other producer, Jordan Long, is also from Arkansas. And so we found this hospital. This has been a question quite a bit because we knew we needed one. And Tara's dad basically was like, I think there's a hospital in town that has a floor that they're about to renovate. And we found out the floor hadn't been renovated since the 90s. So it was perfect for us with this movie set in 1999. This opening scene is with two amazing actresses, Angela Battis, obviously, who is in the whole movie, and Julianne Dowler, who is lives here in L.A. but is also from Arkansas and is also a writer and director. I love working with actors who are also writer and directors because they're just so wonderful. They they understand when the day isn't going well. And Julianne had just given birth, but came on out and did one day for us, which was really nice of her. But Angela, I've loved Angela's work for a really long time. I'm a huge fan of hers since I saw May. May was like one of the first sort of indie films that I ever saw when I was in my early 20s. And when I brought up the idea of her, my producers were so on board. They also loved Angela. And basically, I got the script to her through a friend, and we met up, and she liked it, and she was really on board for playing this sort of, like, not so nice anti-hero. So, this is another actor, writer, director, Tom DeTrenis, who's just simply amazing. He does a lot of theater. And this is Nakia Gambi-Turner, who is also amazing. I did not know before all of this, but now she'll be in everything I want to do ever. She's awesome. She auditioned, and I just loved her. Tom's work I was familiar with before this because we had done some theater stuff together. Him and Brooke Sagan, who plays one of the nurses later, do something called 30-minute musicals here in LA. It's really fun. And I should talk about the music because the music, it comes in here and it gets a lot of attention. So both my cinematographer and my composer, this is the same person. It's Matt Glass, who's also my producer. He's part of HCT Media. And man, we went back and forth on the music so much. We knew what we kind of wanted, but it was tough. And he really wanted to have each character sort of have a different feel. At some point when we were going back and forth, we were like, why don't we just do drums at the beginning? Cause it's less, judgmental. And that was the whole goal. You can't be judging Mandy from the beginning because she's out here lying and she's calling people bitches and she's doing drugs, but you have to be on board for the ride with her. And the drums felt like it was driving. It was like, come on, get on board. We're about to show you a great movie, but you also have to be on board with like this character who can be really intense. So I have to talk about Chloe Farnworth right now, who's also amazing. Also, I did not know before all of this. She sent in a tape and was just brilliant. She was one of the first tapes we got, and she kind of set the standard. And so then afterwards we kept being like, I don't know, it's just not like Chloe. And she's actually British. She learned to do the accent for the movie. But her and Angela just played so, so, so wonderfully together. So once we're down here in what we just called the soda machine room, which is just sort of a garagey area in the hospital. This is still the same hospital. Basically the whole movie is in the same hospital. We wanted the lighting to feel really different. And Matt and I went through when we were shot listing, when we were going setting up and figuring out what we were doing, we went through and made sure every room had a completely different feel, because a lot of the rooms in the hallway are reused. We knew it was all one location, so it was going to be tough to make sure that it didn't all look stagnant and look like we were shooting the same thing over and over again. So obviously this room has this like pink light in it, and we stay kind of over by the spurt machine. I love the spurt soda. That was an actual soda machine that the production design team covered and made the spurt thing for, which is pretty amazing. I should also talk about Gypsy Taylor, who did an amazing job on all the costumes. She also did production design. I just think she killed it. In the 90s, nurses' scrubs were much more boxy. Today, they're much more fitted. So we had to search out for those specific scrubs. By the way, this scene right here was Chloe's audition scene, and she just killed it. She's so good. But also, Chloe just has on this magnificent pair of shoes that just are amazing, and these perfect jeans. Like, I think she just looks incredible. She looks very of the era. I'm from East Texas, which is where this movie was originally set. Now it's set in Arkansas because we shot in Arkansas, and we got Arkansas Film Commission to help us out, and we got some tax incentives, and I would totally shoot there again. I loved it, but I kind of wanted to capture the fashion and the look and the feel and the just the sort of grittiness of growing up in a small town in the 90s in the South. So this car, when we get to the Mick Foley scene, there's a garage full of cars, and this car was actually one of the cars there that we saw, and we were like, can we use that car? The amazing thing about being in shooting in a small town or a smaller town that isn't Los Angeles is that you can ask people like that, and they sometimes will say yes. And so we got that car. We got the car that Dusty Mikey drives, which are just amazing. And Chloe did know how to drive that car. She drove that car around so much. She absolutely loved that car, and I think just had a really good time with that. This is Taylor Alden, who's also an amazing actress. She lives in New York. But she came in for a couple of days, and it was just really amazing. And the woman playing her mother, who is still asleep in the scene, her name is Missy Threadgill, and she's a local actress. And I mean, it is great shooting in these towns, but it is tough to find local hires. There's not, you know, as much of a film community in Jonesboro, Arkansas, but We felt really lucky with a couple actors that we found there. So this room, the look and the feel in this room, so the whole place had to be completely filled with stuff. There was no stuff when we got there. So all these hospital beds, the paintings on the wall are from like the local Goodwill. The hospital beds are actually from the hospital. They let us raid their extra supply area. Everything had to be put in, but we wanted this room to feel, really still, because we obviously have her in the bed and Mandy's doing all this stuff. And this is sort of where you get to know Mandy and the hospital and everything that's going on with her. I love that suitcase, by the way. I don't know who ended up with that suitcase, but, I wish it had been me. But I love this shot right here, too. So this is Tara Perry, who and Brooke Sagan, both of whom I've worked with before. Those bangs are not Tara's. Those were hair and makeup design. And there's the first time we see David Arquette. So Tara, when she, you know, wasn't acting, was running around doing paperwork and stuff, which was kind of amazing. Brooke and I have known each other for a really long time. She was in a show I did called Real Housewives of Horror. I wrote and created a few years ago. And she's also a writer and a theater director and Again, a lot of multi-hyphenates on this. But yeah, all the stuff on the wall, all the stuff that seems like it just lives there, that's all brought in later. This actually is a local actor. I mean, sort of. I think he technically lives in L.A. and in Louisiana. His name is Ted Ferguson. He's great. And I love the idea of him having the headphones, and then he listens to the headphones during dialysis. We had a lot of trouble with the colors of this room. It has carpet unlike the rest of the rooms, and we shot this on a different day, and I wanted the room to feel calm, and it just kind of, the walls were so empty because you technically don't put things on the walls in most dialysis rooms, but then we did end up adding these that you can see right here. On the TV back there, two of my friends, Brianna Lane and Sydney Steinberg, and they're on most of the TVs. Brianna also was in Real Housewives of Horror, and Sydney and I have been friends for a long time. This is one of my favorite shots of the movie. It's the reveal of Mr. Collins there talking about death. It's basically my father. and I love his shoes there, too. We wanted to make sure, I mean, these scenes could be shot so simply, obviously, but we wanted to make sure there's a lot of movement in them, especially as we get more and more into the movie. And that bleach moment was one we really worked out. But this is quite a weirdly angled room, which you can't tell there. So this moment, I actually added a bit later in the writing, a lot of this relationship with her brother. This is Tommy Hobson pushing the gurney. He was there for only a couple days. He's a friend. And the days he was there, he added a lot to the movie, as we'll get to later. And then the guy in her bed, in the bed is Aaron Prusch. And he actually was our sound guy. So that's when people ask about what the budget is, that's what I like to tell them. Like, the guy who's in the bed the whole time, that's our sound guy. That's what our budget was like. So when my producers were looking at the hospital for the first time, they took a whole bunch of photos, and they were like, we have this room, this room, this room. And they were like, also, there's this random chapel down, you know, a few floors down. And so I was like, we got to put some stuff in the chapel. So this scene used to originally take place outside or something, and we moved it into the chapel, which I think really added a lot. Although we did not like the color of the walls, we kept having to adjust for that. But yeah, I love this little chapel. I think they're also, this is one of my favorite scenes between them. I really like the way they talk to each other. We reordered a lot of this stuff at the beginning just to talk about editing magic. My editor, Amy McGrath, edited my first feature, Best Friends Forever. And now she's fancy. She works on all these TV shows. She and another friend of mine, Jeff, were just like, you got to get into this movie faster. You got to move forward faster. A lot of times, I think before, we actually didn't even introduce the Regina character until much later. And now, you know, obviously she's in one of the opening little beats. Which I think worked a lot better. All this stuff is stuff that we knew we needed. We needed to establish that Regina was just kind of knows what she's doing, but chooses not to do what she should be doing. For her music, by the way, we got kicked out of this gas station. For her music, Matt, we for a long time we had metal in there. We had like a bunch of metal music because I was like, yeah, because she's like a badass. And at some point, Matt was like, you know what? What if we have like, not the music you think should go with Regina, but instead, by the way, that's Mikey May, who is, you'll see multiple times in the movie. He's one of our producers. He's often walking in the background. Matt was like, what if it's what Regina hears in her head? That's what we hear. And I thought that was brilliant. So that's why whenever you see Regina, it's like operatic, like beautiful opera that goes along with her. By the way, we saw that skate sign and we were like, we have to get that skate sign in the movie. And that skate place ended up letting us have a little party there one of our last days, which was really nice. But yeah, so, and this is one of, I mean, we don't have I keep calling this a one location movie. It's technically not, but you know, we only shot off of location this day and then all the pickups of her driving, which were on a different day. But for the most part, we were all on the same floor of the hospital. We basically used one section of the hospital. It had two large hallways, and one we used to shoot in and one we used for actors' rooms and like offices and stuff. And so everything you see is technically on the same hallway. We just tried to shoot it differently. And it worked. So this is Mick Foley, who came in, did this wonderful day with us. I love the lighting in this scene. he came in, he flew in just for the day, which was awesome. And he was really nice. People brought like their Mick Foley books for him to sign. He was really nice. When he came in, he was like, I don't know if I want to say all these cuss words. And I was like, you say whatever you want, Mick. Which I do mean. My big thing on set is I like people to improvise. And I always give the actors a take to improvise, which I have so many great improvisers on this that it worked out really well in this movie. And some of the funniest lines are improvised lines. Chloe and Mick had a full run of improvised lines, that something about a fart in a fan factory, but I ended up taking it out of the final cut, but it was really funny. Anyway, I think he's great. I think he looks so fantastic, which is another testament to Gypsy's artistry. Okay, sorry, I had to get a drink. Look, and now we're looking at the drink. Wow, what perfect timing. But this was great. I'll just say a little set story on this day. David Arquette showed up with a donkey, and we all got really excited and took pictures with this donkey, which is, I guess, the benefit of having David Arquette being your executive producer. Dusty Warren is amazing. I love this rat tail. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I insisted on it. I think it looks so good. Dusty is also a writer. And a lot of times a dramatic actor. So it's interesting he came and did this role out in Arkansas, but he was great. He was, he's also a producer. So, many days of him just, cleaning up our lunch or something, 'cause he realized we needed more hands. This was really fun to shoot. I always am wary about shooting in a giant space about like this, but it worked out really well because of the cars and the lighting that we could do. And that little room back there, which is where they actually paint cars, I think worked really, really well. For the longest right here, we had just straight up metal music Amy had put in, and then I think Matt came up with something really cool here. And Chloe's just so amazingly expressive. It's so fun to watch her in scenes like this. I also am always wary of outdoor exteriors, which is why we don't have that many. By the way, we shot this mostly during the day. We covered windows and covered where any light would leak in, and shot most of it during the day, which I think just is my personal preference. I'm not a night owl, and I've been on many shoots where it had to, we had to shoot at night. And if I can choose to not shoot at night, then I choose that. And, you know, a lot of these hospitals don't have, very many windows, but yeah, out that window is just daylight. that cake, by the way, got so gross. We kept using the same cake over and over again. And I think it was pretty new during this scene, but at some point it's been there a while, and I was like, do not eat the cake, because it got kind of nasty. I love that curtain, though. That curtain was something we found at the hospital. They had it in storage, and we were like, wow, perfect. This curtain will be in the movie. Oh, and the voice on the TV back there is me. I'm just trying to do some weather. I love that bitch line that she added in, touching her cross earrings. Tara's a really brilliant improviser, and she just added so much fun stuff to her scenes. But there's Sydney and Brianna again, both really funny actresses, who came in. We shot that on green screen a few months after we shot this, actually. And I just think these two have such good energy together. I mean, it's... shooting a movie all with like in a place where it's the same colored walls, it's the same look in every single room, it's quite an adventure. So trying to come up with cool ways to shoot it was always the the goal of the day. Especially because there's a lot of stillness in the first half of this movie, which we knew going into it, you know, not a whole lot of movement. So just finding cool ways to do it. I love the cross right by Angela's head there. And that's my favorite thing that Angela does, where she goes, okay. And then she just leaves. Just shows to me how, like, how deep their relationship is. David, the character originally was written that he came in because he'd had a heart attack. And David does a lot of work with the within the prison system. And he was like, what if instead it was a suicide, which I thought was really poignant and interesting. And that's what we ended up going with. And this is Scott Dean, who's also from Arkansas, but he lives in L.A. And he's a stand-up comedian. Also auditioned. I did not know him before this. And I just think he's so brilliant. He auditioned again early on, and we were like, oh, that guy's so funny. We should, yeah, what about him? And we were trying to find someone local maybe, but he was so good. It was just, he just really shines in these scenes. I think these are some of the funniest scenes in the movie, if you ask me. Their relationship's real funny to me. At one point, we tried to dye Scott's hair. I wanted it to be that, like, 90s colored khaki that I feel like happens to a lot of people who bleach their hair in the 90s. It didn't stay. It didn't stay in his hair. It, like, it's too porous, so it just looked wild. I wanted it to be, like, you know, like Mark McGrath or something. But I think his regular hair looks good. I love this little move that we ended up doing to show time passing, to show like the monotony of the job. I think worked really well. And that already looked like that little area right there. We did not have to dress the washing machine area, which is great. But the rest of it is all us. And I love the look of this room, which is like a calmness there. Basically until the end when it becomes the most chaotic room. And again, Chloe's outfit is just chef's kiss. Amazing. And she's just, I wanted her to be that person who just has no filter. She's just a bad idea. Everything she says is a bad idea. Everything she does is a bad idea. By the way, that outfit was impossible to put a microphone on. But we worked around it. We kept moving it. Right here, it's on the front of her. When we turn around, it's on the other side. Bless her. She's very, very willing to put up with that. She's a real joy to have on set. And I think this line is really funny to me, the face-eating bacteria. I'm allowed to say my own lines are funny, right? That's a thing. Very, very silly, funny line. And I love what Angela does that's so brilliant here is that she's just so grounded while everyone else is so, like, scattered and wild. And she's just a really believable actor in everything she does. She's not over the top. And that, I think, really allows someone like Chloe to come in and say things like, how many kidneys do I have? And we all laugh because we're like, right, because we believe the world because Angela is in it. And Chloe can be as broad as she wants, which really works. But I love these two together. And I love the transition into this scene, the moment where they pull out what do you call those things? Wow. Anyway, cooler. The cooler. Because I work in TV quite a bit now as a director. And it's the one thing that I felt like the first television episode I directed, the transitions were, I felt like, lacking. And so with this one, it was always like, what's my in, what's my out? You know, and I wanted to make sure that I had that happening. In this moment here, I wanted to explain to the audience what was happening. Just like, if you're not caught up, she uses bleach. This is what happens. This is how she does it. I really believe in, like, the intelligence of audiences, you know? But I wanted to make sure we're, like, we explain it to Regina so we get what Regina's about to do. But I also wanted to make sure everyone knew what was going on at this point, you know, because there's a lot to catch up with in these kind of movies that are, I mean, essentially it's a heist movie. And over the course of this, I'm sure I'll call it a heist movie, a dark comedy, a workplace comedy. I basically call it everything but a horror movie, which is how this has sort of been described, even though I don't think it's very scary. I think it's definitely horror adjacent, and I think because Angela and I are both involved, it leans horror. But I think for the most part, it's supposed to be a comedy. It's a comedy heist or something. I tend to do cross-genre things, which I feel like people did not like as much 10 years ago. And I think now people are really open to them, which is really, really fun for me. We went back and forth about whether or not Angela should, you know, put her hand over her face or should be a little violent. But I feel like what I wanted to capture here was that the 90s were a different time. We, like, said shittier things to people. It was okay to grab someone's mouth. I mean, maybe not okay, but it was like, you know, okay to bring up someone's abuse in an argument. You know, we've obviously gone in like a better direction when it comes to the way we treat people. And, but not at this time, not in 99, not where I grew up. When she's walking down the hall, she's going, bleach, 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 bleach. I don't know if that's totally clear, but I think it's really funny. This is one of the first scenes we shot with Chloe. We put her in this outfit and I was like, you know, strut down the hallway, and she's a model. Like, that's she started the industry as a model, so she's very good at that. But she also just has this amazing way that she can move her face, and it just works really well. So a lot of the people in the background, again, shooting in a small town, are people who nurses from the hospital. It's a working hospital. They would come up, see how we were doing, ask questions, and we were like, "You want to jump in the background for a minute?" They'd be like, "Sure," and that was. That was super fun. Also, random people would just stop by the set because they heard we were shooting a movie and they wanted to get in on that. And we'd say, yeah, you can stay, but you got to stand in the background. Luckily, this is supposed to be, you know, at this point, midnight or something, 1 a.m. So wouldn't be a busy hospital. But I love that the nurses are in the background. Movies aside, it's usually like random people from the crew. By the way, the person who just went by... He is the guy later that she kills, and he is one of the presidents of the bank there in Jonesboro. Volunteered to do this because he has to get completely naked, and he's fine with that. And his wife was there the whole time; she was lovely. The cake was still good here. Nakia can attest to that. So in the original script, there was so much about these vials. It was like so important for us to know where the vials were, and both. My script supervisor and I, Kimberly, and I spent so much time being like, how many vials does she have? Where are the vials now? Has she emptied them? What's going on with these vials? And when you get into the actual movie, it didn't matter. And I removed a whole scene from this in which she sells some drugs to the skater kids outside. That was a scene that got removed. That was when a bunch of the vials went away, and so the vial count got messed up anyway. And so it's that kind of thing that when you're making it and when you're writing it, it seems so important. But then when you actually put it together, no one cares about these vials. They don't care. It's like she has some, and we know there are some on her, but we don't know how many, and it's not important. But you never know when it will be important, so you kind of do have to keep up with that kind of stuff. I have to credit my partner with this line about Marilyn Manson, because he's the one who made this joke to me, and then I stole it and put it in this movie, which is really funny. It was a rumor in the 90s. In fact, I tried to put quite a few 90s urban legends in this movie. I thought that was a really... urban legends were really interesting to me when I was growing up. When I was a kid, I believed them. I thought they were true. And I, you know, anytime you see the people on television, they're talking about certain urban legend things. I think of this like the kid from Marilyn Manson suck his own dick. I think of that as like an urban legend that went around. I mean, it's not true. So yeah, I wanted to include as much of that as we possibly can, because the whole movie is about this kidney, right? Which is an urban legend as well. Waking up in the bathtub, seeing in the mirror, like, go to the hospital, you're missing a kidney, and someone stole your kidney during the middle of the night. I thought that was a real thing that actually happened. You know, maybe it happened somewhere. I don't know. This is another local actor, Molly Simpson, who's just really good. She does a lot of local theater there, and came in and worked with us for a couple of days, and I love this long jean skirt she's wearing. It's quite something. So this is a low budget production. We did not have an actual dolly, but we needed a dolly to something to go back and forth in this hallway and to make it look really smooth. So what Jordan, Matt, and Aaron and a couple other people did is they went to the Home Depot and bought wheels and basically made their own little dolly, and Matt could sit on it and hold the camera, and I think it worked really well. At the end of the day, sometimes the wheels were too loud. We had some wheel problems that we had to get out of the movie, but otherwise it was good. And I love them in this scene right here, in the confusion, and Chloe trying to worm her way out of it. We decided too early on that anytime Regina was around, because she's the chaos in the movie, right? She's the monkey wrench. It would always be handheld, but when it's Mandy alone, it's always on sticks. And we just thought that would make the movie feel chaotic. I think Chloe delivers these lines really well. I sometimes feel like I write in my own sort of rambly voice, and she is able to do them really well. Like, obviously, look at what I'm wearing. That kind of stuff is, I feel like, a joke I would make. And she pulls it off completely. This scene was a little bit of a nightmare because that TV is over in the corner. And that TV causes so many problems, and we had to try to find ways to not have to put anything on the TV, because it was just, low budget. Trying to comp stuff in is always a pain in the ass. And I like this moment. This is, and forgive me for my basicness, but this is a little bit of our Save the Cat moment, where, she says something nice to this lady, and I think that's nice. I was talking to someone about this, and now I do think that this is, it's funny when people can't remember stuff, because my own dad has Alzheimer's and has had it for about 10 years, and you kind of do have to laugh at this stuff. And I tend to put things like that, things that are really hard or uncomfortable or sad in movies, as jokes, because that's the way I deal with my life. Gives you a little insight to the way I write. Again, the TV back there, we could totally see Matt holding the camera. We had to get rid of that, which is a big pain in the ass. We did not have an official effects person on set, unfortunately, because we were in the middle of nowhere, and this was a low-budget movie. So that is a combination of Alka-Seltzer and some post-effects, which I think ended up working pretty well. And this is one of the first scenes I think they shot together. Was in this little room. This room is so small, and you can't tell, which is really a testament to Matt and the way he shot it, because it's just, it was that the table, I think right now we're standing where the table is normally. It was real, really difficult to shoot in there, and I think we were in there for 2 or 3 days, and it was just, maybe just 2 days, but it was a lot. Oh, I love this baby between them too. So funny to me. Oh my God, I didn't realize how thirsty I'd get doing this. Excuse me, I'm going to be drinking throughout this. This was Nakia's audition scene. And Tara, again, brilliant, brilliant. And she, this is her improvising at the end, saying, oh good. So funny. Tara is always good at throwing a button in there if I need one, which is really nice. This room actually was in a different part of the hospital because we needed a room that looked storagey. It is the same as the other ones, but, we just needed to fill it with stuff, and we needed to keep the other ones looking the way they were. So this was technically by the actors' rooms. This scene was, it's so much dialogue. It's so much exposition. And they did a really brilliant, amazing job with it. We ended up doing a lot of improvising on this just to get to where we needed to be to make it all make sense. What I like to do, and we did this for every single scene, and some of them I used basically nothing. This one I think we ended up using quite a bit, but I like to let them do the lines as written, making them personal if they need to, but then I like to say, okay, this is your improv take from this angle. So if it's a single on Chloe, then I want Angela to stick to the script, and vice versa. In the two shot, they can kind of go off book, say whatever they want. And if we don't get all the lines in the take, that's okay, because I have them I have them already. I just want to see what they're going to do. And with a scene like this that had such a difficult arc, like to get to where we needed to go, and we needed to reveal information, and we needed Chloe to Regina to say, oh, I'm not going to do that. You have to help me. We had to get to that point. The improvising really helped them, I think, to sort of find those moments. So again, I ended up using quite a bit of it. And I love the way the light looks when it hits them. And Chloe has just a really good way of, like, I think, like, we watched a lot of tapes for the role of Regina. And it's such a difficult role because you could play her really nasty, like really mean and really know-it-all and really cruel. And what Chloe did is she came in and she played it so with so much conviction. And that was so interesting to me and such a random, like, cool choice. And I had written her, I think, much more cruel, much more just kind of a jerk. And there's no, even when Chloe is a jerk, she doesn't seem jerky. It seems like she's just, this is the way she lives her life, and she's going to continue living her life this way. And that just worked really well for the character. It made us like the character. It made us go along the journey with the character. And then she comes along and says really silly, funny stuff, and that works out really well too. This jump scare right here was actually, or no, the jump scare in the last one was actually David's idea, which I thought was a really, really good add. And calling her Blondie and stuff was also David improvising, which I thought was really good. David and David's wife is also from Arkansas, so they came down. And he had to go back and forth and do some wrestling stuff in between, but they came down, and that was really fun to have them there while they were there. I worry a lot about the geography of the hallway and where things were, and whether or not you knew where that door was. And then once you put the movie together, realize the geography didn't really matter. So, because I was like, oh, the chapel's at the end of the hallway, which I don't think you ever actually realize. And the chapel was on a different floor, so we had to, like, know where things were. It helped us a lot when shooting. I don't think it ended up making a huge difference because you don't even know you're on the same hallway most of the time. Again, this is the guy you saw go by. Not these guys, the other guys. The other guys are all local Jonesboro people. One of them, I believe, teaches film in high school, which is pretty rad. I follow him on Instagram. And I like the music for this scene. I think we had it temped with something of Matt's and then ended up using basically that or something really similar, which worked really well. We have all these shots of her walking down the hall, and we actually shot a lot of the random walking down the hall shots first. Like the first day, we just grabbed all these hall shots because we knew we'd be in the hallway. So all these little transitional shots we shot first, which was great because the actors could kind of get in the mode. They all got to know each other. We got to know everyone on set. I love that shot. That's like one of my favorite shots. And it just worked out really well to, like, have everyone get comfortable with each other while we were trying to figure out how to work the the homemade dolly. This Kit Williamson, a person I've worked with for years and years. I met him 10 years ago or something in an acting class, and he created a show called Eastsiders, which I worked on. He's in my first movie, Best Friends Forever. He's been in basically everything I've done, and I've been in basically everything he's done. Symbiotic relationship. But Kit often plays, in his shows, he plays like the hot babe. In my shows, he always plays somebody much more bumbling and silly, which I think he does really well. I think he's super funny. I think he's one of the funniest people I know. So I love that he came down and did this funny role. And bless him, he was there for a really long time because the role took place over, like, just the shooting schedule was complicated. But I think he's very prolific. I think he wrote a book while he was there or something. I'm not joking. I think he, like, finished his YA novel or something. The clock in the background was such a pain in the ass because it actually doesn't work if you look closely. It doesn't work. But we're going to fix it digitally, and we didn't. And hopefully no one notices unless they watch this. But I think Kit's really funny here. And Kit's from the South. Kit's from Mississippi. So I knew he could do the accent. But I think this worked out really well. And I like their little relationship here. We originally had Kit dressed as like kind of a detective with a giant coat and just kind of an unattractive outfit. And he didn't like it, and neither did I. And so Gypsy had to go find this like 90s era cop outfit. And she had to find it really quickly. And she did a really great job of having to find that. I also love these glasses, which I think are also Tara's dad's, maybe. I'm not totally sure about that. And we argued about whether or not to get this shot right here because we thought it wouldn't cut, but I wanted to shoot it in some different angle because I just felt like we'd seen everything here. It ended up working well. I think it like kind of throws you off, which is really, really, really nice. In the original script, he doesn't take notes and do all of this kind of stuff. But I talked to everyone before they came out, and I was like, look, let's just find something so when people are like, oh, what's his deal? Like, we know there's something else going on with your character. We know, like for Tom, we know there's something else happening with him. Obviously, like, you could go follow Tom for the whole 12 hours, and he would find a bunch of organs. He would find a second bunch of organs. Like, he just has a wild night, and I wanted everyone to seem like they were having their own adventures outside of the adventure that Mandy and Karen and Regina are having, which I think his especially came across, which is really nice. And I like the way she does this. Because obviously there's nothing on that computer. She's taking that off of nothing. That's good acting, everybody. This room right here, this was the first day we shot, actually. And this room right here is a kitchen. That we converted to be a sort of morgue. It's a little bit of a shooting nightmare because everything is reflective, but we were really aware of it and got around that. But, you know, indie set, not much time. We had to think about it a lot. And I think we did have to remove a couple of small mistakes we made. But, our production design, they did an amazing job of making it look, moving this table in and just kind of making it look more morgue-ish. But I just, it thought the look was really cool and got us out of the look of the rest of the hospital, which really worked. That's actually the body that falls. Obviously, it doesn't hit the floor there. There was a pad for him. Alan, that was his name, Alan, who did an amazing job and had to be naked for a full day. And he covered in blood. And if you know anything about being on a set, a horror set covered in blood, being covered in blood is not fun. It's sticky. It's disgusting. It sticks all your parts to your other parts. And he had it like, you know, everywhere, all over his legs, arms, pretty horrifying. Again, Kit's schedule was so crazy. That was like, oh, he had to come in for like an hour on one day or something. And he was really, really nice about it. This is also a local actor, this skater. And I think he did a really good job. His name is Zach. He was really nice. Being a skater is such a part of my 90s experience, and I felt like I had to include that in there. So the song coming up was something we talked about. We didn't actually figure out until we got there. And I wanted a song here. I knew this was going to be a back and forth montage between everybody. And I wanted a song here I originally wanted a 90s song here. I reached out to the Beastie Boys and was like, can I use that song Girls? I thought that would be really funny. They said no, or their people said no. I'm sure the Beastie Boys don't know anything about that. And I reached out to a few other people and wasn't able to get the rights to anything else. And while we were there, I'd seen the chapel, and I knew we had Tara and Tommy there. Tara and Tommy were both on a show called The Fresh Beat Band, like a kids show. And I knew they could both sing. So I was like, so I think maybe a day or two before we shot this, or we shot in the chapel, I started looking up public domain songs and found Blood of the Lamb. Weirdly, it's in another movie right now, and I can't remember what movie it is. And I was shocked when I saw that. But because I thought it would be cool with the blood and the sacrifice element. And then we have these two singers. And I told Matt, I was like, this is what we're going to do. And we knew he was the composer. And he said at the time, he was like, there's no way we'll ever use this. this shooting Tara and shooting Tommy in the hallway. But then we did. And I think it ended up being really cool. I love that moment. And I love all of this, her slipping around the blood and playing that song. I went to church a lot as a kid. So that song was really familiar to me. And I thought it was a really cool sort of Southern thing to include over this scene. Maybe it's sacrilegious. I'm not sure. This was Kit's idea to run in with his gun drawn, which I thought was really kind of perfect. And then I think, man, when you have two good actors, it's just so wonderful just to sit back and watch them play. These two just are years of experience and just professionals, which is really, really nice. And again, like I said, Alan's wife was there. She sat next to monitor with me the whole day. And so when I pointed the camera up his butt, essentially, I was like, is he okay with this? Are you cool with this? And she was like, oh yeah, he's having the time of his life. So hopefully Alan had the time of his life. We did have a couple problems with this shot, cause I love that two shot with him in between them, but, you know, you can't ask someone to hold their breath for 3 minutes. We did a little bit of digital stuff in post, but there's only so much we can do. So I couldn't stay in that shot too long, but I just loved the setup. And this shot, this single of Mandy is on a lot of our posters, which I think worked really well. Although maybe led people to believe the movie is far more bloody than it actually is. I'm not sure. I mean, I like this little moment too. Kit is, this whole bit is improvised. Him saying like, you know, it's like cops, like that whole bit, it's all improvised. He's really funny. He plays a lot of dramatic stuff. So it's, I think he has a good time when he gets to come in and play. I'm trying to impress women. That's actually daylight coming in through that window, but we thought it looked enough like hallway light that it worked okay. And I was so glad we got to play in this room, because I think otherwise it gets so boring shooting the same hallway. At least I think viewers' eyes get bored. We don't get bored necessarily, but... And Angela's so good at doing just a variety of things, like the flirtation, the fear, the like, oh my God, relief kind of thing. Just works really, really well. Because now at this point, we're kind of in it, right? We have to like, we're like, okay, you know, we have to be along for this ride, and we think she's going to get out of it. These little insert shots, by the way, I was like, we'll never use them. We don't need them. And we totally used them, so I'm so glad we got them. I normally always want more, more, more. And those ones, I just was like, I don't know where I'll use that. And then we 100% used it. Also, she's not wearing her watch in certain parts of the movie. You can find that. It bothers me. Most people would never notice. It actually had rained here, which worked out really well for us. Tara's so funny here. We're all back there behind monitors, literally like right there in the hallway. And Tara's whole family was there, and they all laughed throughout this whole thing, which was really fun because she's so funny. Good comedic acting. Also a lot of improvising, which was good. There are only so many places we could shoot on the outside of this hospital. With it still looking older, the front part of the hospital kind of looked new. So this is technically right here, directly next to where we just were. You would never know, but it was literally you walk 10 feet and that's where we're shooting right now, which worked out okay. One of those guys is local. The other guy is my assistant, Matthew Price, who's a really great writer-director. And we put him in that outfit, which I really, really enjoyed. He's been a friend of mine for 6 years or so, probably 5 years. I love these, the camera swings, and I wish we would have done a little bit more of that, because I like when the camera moves and the camera is like the audience's eyes. That's always really fun to me. Again, something I was like, I don't know if we'll ever use this, and we totally needed it, which worked out really well. I thought we would use all this as one long shot, but going back and forth with Chloe, I think, made way more sense. And I love this conversation they have here. I mean, I wrote it, so obviously I love it, but I think they do a really good job. And then this moment, so great. What is the adventure that he's having right now? He's having an adventure all on his own, which is which is super fun. The water, I think, was really cold right here, which I feel blessed that Chloe was willing to do that. Back where those doors are back there is where our offices are, and all the cast rooms, because there are a lot of people in this movie. On any given day, there were, you know, four or five, upwards of that number of actors coming in, which is a lot for an indie movie to come in, come out, and like having to giving them their own place, which I think is really important. And I like that little slide shot. And Chloe, who is a very graceful human, can somehow make herself look so not graceful, which really worked. That's the only time you see a doctor in the whole movie, which nurses have reached out to me and said they like that aspect of it, which which is good. I have nurses in my family. My brother's a nurse. He calls this movie a nurse-ploitation movie, which there's not many of those, but I'll take it. This scene, we shot fairly quickly, because there's not much in this space, but this is it's a high page count for a movie. I think it's 5 or 6 pages or something like that, but they did an amazing job. This is the kind of thing that could take forever. There are actual fake organs in the underwear. Those are actual underwear, and there are actual fake organs in the underwear. They look a little weird, so we kept having to cover them up. But I thought they worked, and I was glad they were the same shape the whole time, you know, because you can end up putting weird stuff in something like that, and it's not the same shape. I think our sound did a really good job here, because there's a lot to, like, figure out in the scene. Our sound is a guy named Jake, and he's over at IMRSV Sound. That's the name of it. You know, it had to have rain, and then we added in the clock noise, that's Matt, and then the cop on the sound system, and just like a lot, and then kind of messing with the sound, so we get the idea that Mandy is actually going to withdraw here. We used to have a lot more messing with the sound, but we wanted to just kind of show what she was going through, because technically, even though Regina, you know, this is, I think of these three as my leads of the movie, but I think of it all from the point of view really of Mandy. So if we're going to be in anyone's head, it's Mandy. So I wanted to make sure we understood the withdrawal that was happening and the reasoning that she might want to go back out into the hallway. Again, we worried a lot about, like, people knowing where this space was and the location of it in the hospital, but didn't actually matter in the end. And I think this line, this is where she goes. She said, "Thank you." That's improvised, which is very funny. Nakia's really good at a button as well, coming up with something funny to say right before she leaves the room. Yeah, and then I think we just had to have this moment. I mean, Angela did a really good job. If she was like, "Okay, here's where I am in my drug use. I just did drugs, or I'm needing them, or like I'm feeling good right now, or whatever." Like, she tracked that really well in her script, which I also tried to do. But if she was not as an experienced of an actor, There's so many moving parts to this. That was something that she was really good about keeping up with. I like the shot down the hallway. I think it's really nice. We actually shot some stuff later and realized she didn't have the organs anymore. So that's why she throws them away right there. That was added. This shot right here was the hardest shot of the movie. Took a really long time because it just involves a lot of moving, her moving and following her. And since we didn't have like an actual dolly grip or an actual dolly, that made it very difficult. It was a rough day, which Matt can attest to, but he did an amazing job. And I love Brooke right here. I think she does a really good job of telling Chloe off. And I really feel for Angela. This next little sequence right here, so indie filmmaking can be tough because you don't have the people you need on the days that you need them for whatever reason, especially we're shooting on location. So this next little sequence is actually three different shots. So that shot of Brooke and that scene we all shot on one day. This moment of Chloe crossing we shot on one day. And then the dancing down the hallway was shot on the same day with Chloe crossing. And the David moment here at the end was shot on a different day because we had to make this all work. And I knew we needed to get down the hallway. Originally, we just went down the hallway and followed him. But at some point, he had this Walkman. We saw the Walkman and I was like, oh, my God, I know how we can get down the hallway. And I knew he was a good dancer. And I was like, can you come up with some 90s dances and go down the hallway and bless Tommy. You know, I think he was there for 3 days or something and he did it. And he was really, I think it's really one of the highlights of the movie. It's one of my favorite parts. And then you get to see David exit, which is great. Because we're in Jonesboro, some days it rained and some days it didn't. And that's always hard. I was hoping we would have rain at this day, but we didn't. And we didn't at the end of the movie. We had it for part of the day and then not at the very end. And, you know, and we actually shot the end on the last day, weirdly. This is all nurses from the hospital. Jordan, our producer's mother, is back there. Everyone, people we know, which was really great that we had enough people to do this moment. Yeah, and I love what Matt did here with the lens, which he just took the camera lens off and kind of messed with it with his hand, which worked really well. And then I like these two together. As far as the clothes, clothing colors went, we decided this was the color of the nurses who worked on the floor. But Nakia, since she works at the front, we thought that she would wear a different color. This room is so small and you don't realize it. It's, again, a testament to Matt's shooting of it that this was very difficult to do. It's a lot of moving parts. There's no way like I could be in this room with everybody. This fight moment, they did a really great job that's about to happen. And Missy does a really great job here. Story about Missy. She did call me early on in the shoot and asked if she would be needed all day. On, I think it was this day, it was a Sunday, because she plays in her church, she plays piano for the church, and I said, yes, we do, we need you all day. It's a movie, it takes forever. A scene like this takes most of a day. But she was really nice. I think she got someone to cover for her, which worked out really well. I should have mentioned earlier, we actually see Tara's dad in an earlier scene. He's one of the patients, but I missed it. I love, this is all improvised as well, her saying the stuff about smoking. Really smart. And again, I mean, I think by this point we had to like know that she's just a wild card and she might do something like this. And the way Chloe plays it, I feel like we were able to justify it. Both this movie and my other movie, I realize, have barf moments, have throw up moments in them. I don't know why I tend towards that. I mean, a hospital, you're going to have a lot of throw up. I don't know. In the other movie, there was radiation poisoning, so there was also throw up. But also, I'm the most prone to foodborne illness person that I've ever met, as far as like, you know, like eating something you shouldn't eat and then it makes you sick. That's me. Food poisoning of some sort, I get it like almost once a year. I don't know what it is about my little sensitive stomach. So maybe I just think about throwing up more than the average person. I have no idea, but a lot of barf in this movie. For a hot minute, I took this scene out because I thought it was confusing location-wise. But we ended up adding it back in because I thought you needed to see all of this happen. And I like the way they play it. On the production team, Holly on the production team did all of the signage, which was really tough. It was actually quite a bit. But she is Australian, and she spelled gynecology different than we spell it, but I don't think it actually is bothersome back there. But just a little thing that happens. Also, for a moment, you could see that we are not on the floor that we said we were on. We had to do that in post because none of us realized it when we were shooting. That cop, the second cop, is Jordan, our producer and AD for the shoot. We put him in this cop outfit. At one point, I looked at him and I was like, "You've lost a lot of weight on the shoot. You're too stressed out." And he was like, "No, no." He's like, "No, the cop outfit's just too big." I got really worried that he wasn't eating. We spent a lot of time in the stairway figuring out different ways to shoot it because I didn't ever want to shoot it the same. But yeah, we spent like a half a day because there actually is a lot of going up and down the stairs towards the end of the movie. And I wanted to make sure we had those transitions. Dusty's so funny here. We watched a lot of tapes for him as well. And oh, his necklace too. For the love of God. So funny. A lot of people played it really mean. And I think it was written pretty mean, but him making it sort of comical really worked for me. Especially knowing we were going to have a rat tail. I don't know why I ever thought he would be mean. but he did just an amazing, amazing tape. And he's just a real joy to have. I love this moment that she does. The seductive moment that doesn't work. Seduction that doesn't work. And the hair pop. In post, we ended up adjusting this lighting quite a bit. It is very pink. We messed with it. I thought it ended up being too pink, and I realized putting a pink light, of course, it's going to be pink. But I just didn't love the way it looked, so we ended up changing it quite a bit. But then we had to match it on every single shot, and that was rough. We dyed Angela's hair for this. We did that kind of like what I call '90s red. It's like a red over a brown kind of look. When she takes her hair down there, I think she hadn't washed it in a few days. I know she didn't wash it much because the red was it kept coming out. But I thought it looked amazing. It's like, looks like my hair after working on a set for a few days. Worked out really perfectly. And poor Aaron in the bed over there would check everyone's mics and then go lay down in the bed. Indie movie insider moment. We actually had a different sound guy. Who we had to get rid of, and Aaron was the AC, but he knew how to work the sound equipment, so our second AC, and so he ended up doing a little of both. Bless him. Again, just a color thing that we ended up doing. Because there's so much white in this room, we ended up taking the white down quite a bit and taking a lot of the shine and stuff off of it. And we messed with the color quite a bit in this room because that's what I call a three shot of Kit Brooke and the refrigerator. It was just so it was so bright. I felt like the refrigerator was the central focus. It was really driving me nuts. We were able to fix it, which made me really happy. Again, you can tell how small this room is because of the camera lens we had to use to just get all three of them in there was obviously very wide. She does an amazing job here. And I think, I mean, for me, what really works is that it is her brother in there, right? I mean, that this is, it is a genuine moment. And I do think she has these genuine feelings about her brother. And, you know, the way that something like that would shape a person is really, you know, it might make you go to drugs. It might make you a more angry person. And I think she just really captures the way that she does love him, and it, but it's a very complicated relationship. I think it really, she does a really, really wonderful job there. And I like watching Kit come around to her side of things. It's really nice. And Brooke as well. I think they both did a really, really beautiful job. Brooke is also a really great dancer. She just danced in a music video that I did. She's really amazing. And Kit, I should plug his new show, is all called Unconventional, which I think will come out sometime in 2021. Which I wrote on as well. And he stars in, and he wrote and show ran. He's a very multi-talented person. Jordan really did not like that he had any lines, but he did a great job with them, I think. So you see the rain out there. That rain was built by Jordan and his dad. It was not raining, and basically they created a little fake little rain machine. It's just there on the outside of that door, and it's done with like a hose and, you know, some Home Depot supplies that they made, which really works, especially in the background of something like this. Later on, you can kind of see that the ground is dry and there wasn't much we could do about it. But I think for this, it really worked, and because we needed to sell that it was raining. The rain was really important, because I wanted it to seem like, so you can see the ground is a little dry back there. I wanted it to seem like, okay, maybe people don't want to go out in the rain. That's one of the things keeping them inside, besides all of the cops that are obviously out there. And you can see the cop lights out there. That's just a random light we put over to kind of sell that there's something happening on the other side of the hospital. I keep almost calling it the hotel. We are staying at a hotel about 5-minute walk from here, and I would walk across a field every day to get to this hospital. Some days it was raining, which was not good, but yeah, right by each other, which worked out really well. Poor Scott Dean had to lay on that floor for a long time and be dead, and he did a really great job. It's not easy to play dead. I've done it before. We did have a little inside, I guess this is what you get for listening to the commentary. We had a continuity error at one point, and Chloe was wearing clean clothes for certain parts when she should have been wearing bloody clothes. And we had to reshoot a whole bunch of stuff. We had to reshoot her doing that little smile that she just did. We had to reshoot. We actually had to reshoot about half a day, maybe a little bit more than that. Fortunately, we were able to do it. It was kind of shocking. We were able to do it on this schedule. We shot everything in about 18 days. But we went through the footage and tried to figure out what we had to reshoot, what we didn't. And, it was just so much that we couldn't get away with. So we did end up doing a lot of reshooting. Again, you're like in a hallway. There's not much to do. So I loved that we got like the shoes shot, the things that kind of show us that we're moving, going back and forth. I love this shot here. I love the way they act from across from each other and how Kit gives into her. We added in a little camera shake there. I mean, because we didn't have a stunt coordinator, we didn't have special effects. So everything had to be kind of done in camera as easily as possible. But with someone like David, you know, obviously he wrestles. So he's really good at stunts and doing stuff himself. She really does hit her in the face with that pillow in this moment. She didn't punch her. The punch looked real. I remember going in there and being like, did you really punch her? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, wow, good job. I like at this point in the movie, Angela's hair is all crazy and she's just kind of She seems so stressed out, which works out really well. But she's also savvy, which is what I wanted. I wanted this anti-hero who's smart and savvy and able to get through this night because of her intelligence. I think we see that a lot with male anti-heroes, but we don't often see this sort of like female anti-hero. And I think she just did an amazing job. Again, this is one of those long shoot days that we were in that room for a full day. And poor Kit had to stand on the outside and deliver lines and occasionally be there. There's also a really good improvised line here by Dusty, who says, you think this is the first time I've been shot? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's exactly how your character would be. But yeah, shooting in one room for a full day is, trying to get all this stuff in one day was tough. We had a really, really a big plan. I think this day and the next day, they were like 40 setup days or something like that. It was really, really intense trying to make sure we got everything. And we only had one leather jacket, so we had to not get it bloody. That was a big, big concern always. One of these shots ended up being on a lot of posters as well, which I really liked. Oh, the Carpe Diem tattoo was not in the original script. That was makeup idea. That was the makeup artist idea. And I just thought it was really, really funny, really silly. And totally the tattoo that guy would get, I think. And this is the kind of thing that for me, shooting in these kind of one locations and doing it during the day was so much easier than shooting at night. It's just so many things to keep up with, and the energy of everyone has to stay so big the whole time. And so it really helped that we were able to do it during the day and do it while everyone had a lot of energy. And the crazy thing about Kit is that he is kind of a badass, so it's really weird that he's such a he seems so uncoordinated in all of this. It's good acting. Again, like Chloe. And the lighting here I really liked. I mean, we wanted, you know, instead of going pitch black, to have that sort of safety lighting, and we wanted to there's not any like this red color lighting we only use at the end of the movie. You know, we see the pink downstairs and this one's like the red look, which really, you know, says a lot about what's about to happen. Things go wild. And when writing, I really wanted to, I like it when, a person's weakness is also their greatest strength or something that helps them to get away with what's happening. You know, this is so for Mandy, you know, we've seen her do drugs. We've seen her have to deal with this shit throughout the entire movie. And we're dealing with her addiction. And so her addiction here, she's able to use like, oh, I'm shaky because I'm an addict. And then she's able to use that in order to shove this needle in his eye, which. Again, no special effects, no stunt coordinator. So that's done through the brilliant of editing of Amy. She did a really great job with that. And poor Dusty, he was one of the dirtiest, with the exception of Alan, maybe. Dusty got the most of the gross fake blood stuff. Almost didn't shoot him putting that thing around his head and decided to. Oh, this look right here was something Matt had worked on before we went out to Arkansas. He shot a little video with that like super speed in. I don't even know what you call it. And I'd seen it and I was like, we got to find a way to put this in the movie. And then I really wanted them, you know, to be stuck in between these two bad guys at the end. And originally they didn't have the brother. They left the brother in there. And one, I thought that Mandy should get the brother. I thought that was really important for her to bring her brother with her just to show that she does care. Like she's not lying about that. And then two, there's nothing greater in a movie that, you know, a plane's going down and things are going horribly. And then all of a sudden, you know, also there's a room of snakes or something, you know, like just something to make it that much harder on our main characters. And pushing a guy in a wheelchair down a hallway makes your life so much harder. So I thought that would escalate it. So, you know, served two purposes here. This worked really well. That's Chloe standing on a box, but she's able to sell it really well, like he's lifting her. And again, Mandy's not a bad person. She saves Janet, which I think is really a nice little moment. Because there were nurses hanging out with us a lot of the time coming to see how we're doing, we would ask them questions like this, like, how would you do this? Because I don't actually know the answer to that. And Angela would work with them and be like, how do I do this? And she would work it out so it all looked much more realistic, and was actually what they would do, which worked out well. And the suitcase comes back into play, which I like. And I love that line. And that's my friend from church. Very fun. Some of this is the stuff we reshot. Not this moment, but Chloe's close-ups and stuff like that. And I'm sure there are shots in there where she's not bloody. I think that's one of them, which was just a mistake. But we didn't. I think maybe even Dusty was gone by that point. We couldn't shoot it. And then I really wanted Karen. By the way, I named Karen before the Karen fiasco on the internet. I really wanted Karen to have one last little savior moment. That was in one of my rewrites, was to bring Karen back. Because one of the notes I got from Matt, who you saw earlier, who is also my assistant on the movie, was he was like, I don't understand the structure, the power structure happening I love the lighting here. In the heist, in the scheme. And I was like, well, Karen's in charge. And he's like, you should make that really clear. So I went back and made sure it was clear that Karen was everybody's boss. And then she has this kind of boss moment at the end where she saves them, which I think really worked out. This speech in the script, I could never decide if it was too silly and over the top. And then Dusty came in and did this, and I was like, no, it's perfect. It's just great when an actor can come in and make your dialogue feel realistic and like something they would actually say. I think that makes you feel really good as a writer. And I love that there's all this stuff at the soda machine. Again, you bring back the thing that you've seen the whole movie and make it into, you know, something important. I had a lot of iterations of this script. There was one that you never saw Regina alone. It was just all from Mandy's POV. And once I added in Regina as kind of a character who you got to see by herself, I think it added a whole lot to the movie. I think it made it more heisty instead of just a woman's night at a hospital. There was a shot I really wanted, and that right there where it kind of goes over the top of the machine. And Jordan and his dad, again, built a little thing to put a smaller camera on, a shot with a different camera, to lift it over. And it took like four of us to kind of lift it up and over the soda machine. But we ended up getting it. It was hard, but we got it, which was really nice. We used it in another part and it didn't work as well. So we only ended up using it in that shot. And then dropping the soda machine, we actually just dropped it. We didn't drop it on Dusty, that he's added in post. We shot that two separate little frames. And then, we just straight up dropped that soda machine, which it wasn't a functioning one, so it worked out okay. It was ours to break, but we only had one shot at that. And again, the sun was supposed to come up here, and it came up the way we shot it. We shot everything backwards. We shot the end first, then we went backwards. And we had to adjust some of that in post to make sure, because it was a little too bright. And David did that stunt himself. He's, again, wrestler. He didn't obviously fall on the ground, but he flew off there and did that all himself. And I think we did it a couple of times. He's really, he's in amazing shape and is really good at stunts. Hire him to be the next action hero. He's very good. And then I like this little moment between them at the end with the sun coming up. We actually did this at sunset. Again, we shot it backwards. We shot David out, and then we shot this, I think, and then we shot the part before this. And this was always in the script, that she takes off all of her clothes. And Chloe told me when she was doing a bunch of interviews for the movie, people kept asking her about showing her butt at the end, which, by the way, it was wet. It had rained. We shot this like a different time. So it was wet, and Tara's actually below camera right there grabbing Chloe's pants so we could do multiple takes in a row. So Tara's literally sitting underneath with the frame, the camera frame right there. But I just thought it was funny. People kept asking Chloe about being naked, and she you know, had no problems with it. I sent her a video of it before we finalized everything, but she has no fear. And then I like this little moment here. Again, we shot this this on green screen. That's Morgan Peter Brown, who's been in a bunch of horror movies and produced a movie that I was in. And he just has a real news guy voice. So I was trying to figure out. I don't know many people who sound like adults, and he does, even though I think he's a few years younger than me. This is sort of the finale of the like, oh, this is where everyone is now. Again, that's Daniel, one of our PAs. Daniel ended up being in the movie far more than we thought he was going to be. He's a director and an actor and a PA on this movie. And just getting all these shots of the hospital kind of coming back in. This is also kind of a tough shot. And figuring out all the moving pieces we needed to tell this part of the story was a lot. This end was a lot more setups than you probably realize. And this was the only time you actually see daylight in this room. And again, I think we shot this kind of early on. And the idea is there's more people here because it's, you know, it's morning. People actually be in the hospital. People are upset. We have Taylor being upset again. But all it worked out really well. And Jordan doesn't think of himself as an actor, but I think he does a good job. And Angela just kills it in this whole movie. I feel so lucky that we got her, because truly don't know what we would have done without her. And again, this was a mostly empty room. I mean, actually, some of these chairs were in this room, and we reused them. But like all the plants and the paintings and all that kind of stuff, we had to add in. And I like how chill they are about this, because I feel like that's what nurses are like. Nurses are so calm in the face of extreme anxiety-inducing incidents in moments. In the times I've been in hospitals, I feel like it's such a difficult time being there, and they're all so calm. And there's something kind of amazing about that, so I wanted them to treat this moment with a lot of calmness as well. The woman sitting back on the couch is another nurse, and she was at the hospital. She was there quite often, hanging out with us. And back there is Tara and Jordan's family. This is definitely a family affair. Don't know what we would have done without their families. Shout out to them. And this is one of my favorite moments in the movie, where they actually knew each other, Tommy and Nakia, before they started this. But with him coming out with these organs, which I really wanted to make sure, like, the night is not over. Things could keep happening. And Tom's over here just improvising his ass off, making funny jokes, which I really liked. But as far as Mandy's concerned, for this moment, she's done. She's not going to be involved anymore. This sweater. Come on. Amazing. When you do a period movie, you have to do a lot of looking up of things, because you have to make sure certain things existed by this time. And, you know, obviously I lived in the 90s, but you never know. There's certain things where you're like, was that around? Or like, you know, just the cars in the parking lot. We had to look and make sure, like, ooh, that was made in, you know, 2002. We can't have it. And this is literally, you know, the switching. The changing of the guard. You know, she goes in, Mandy comes out. In the festival version of this movie, Amanda Palmer does a cover of a song, Devil Town by Daniel Johnson, and it's awesome. And I think you can actually still hear it on her Patreon, maybe. But we, while we were in post, I had gotten permission for the song for festivals. Daniel Johnson died while we were in post, and we were not able to get a hold of anybody to see if we could get it for the actual release, which was such a bummer. So people who saw it at festivals saw it with Devil Town at the end, which I thought was the perfect song to end this movie with, because the whole thing is that it's a shift movie. I'm going to keep calling it different movies. Now I'm done. This is it. Where she literally she's going to sleep because she's working a double. She's about to go back to work, which anyone who's done shift work or done work where you have to clock in and be there at a certain time, there's no rest. Sometimes you do this. Many time I would work all night at a restaurant and then come back and work the next morning. It's just part of the world when you're working this kind of job. And I want to show, like, this is, yes, it's an extraordinary night, but this is the grind. This is the grind that these nurses go through, which I think we all respect and understand a lot more after COVID. But when we made this movie, which was a year before all that hit, we weren't talking about it as much. So then I wanted to have it be a still slow, like, okay, now she's going back in, even though she just worked this crazy night, because that's what you do. You can't take off. And then I love the Mick Foley thing at the end. Again, we only had him a day, so we shot this first and then we went over, to shoot his other big scene. But he was really perfect. I don't know that much about wrestling. Don't get mad. By the way, this was not the actual entrance. There's literally construction. There's like nothing over there where they're walking to. But I knew Mick Foley and I was excited to have him. That was the one person I could name that wasn't David Arquette that was a wrestler. so David and Christina organized that, which was really nice. And that's the movie. Thank you for watching. Please tell people about it. Again, small movie. It's tough to make these movies, and I feel really lucky that I got to make this movie. We were set to premiere at the Tribeca International Film Festival. I should probably mention that. But then COVID happened, and we didn't get to premiere there, which was a big disappointment. All the actors had already bought their tickets. I was ready to go. We were all ready to see it in New York with an audience. I think this would have been so fun to see it with an audience, but we didn't. Get to do that. We were also supposed to play Fantasia and Fright Fest and Sitges and a few other festivals. And we did play a lot of them digitally, which worked out really well. But man, seeing this movie, Fantasia, having everyone cheer when, you know, people knock each other out, I would have died. Would have been great. I could have died happy. Now I'm going to have to make another movie. just kidding. I would have made another movie anyway. But yeah, thank you for watching. I had a good time making this one, and hopefully, get to make another one. Oh, so interestingly, I will say our caterer, credited is Stacey Perry. That would be Tara's mother. And also, Josh Ethier has a song in the background of the scene in the garage. Because I needed a metal song to be coming out of the radio. And I was like, who do I know who knows about metal? And my friend Mallory was like, I think Josh Ethier used to be in a metal band. So I reached out to him. So I thought that would be good. Thank you for watching. It means a lot. And thank you for listening. Feel free to tell other people that I did this. Have any other questions? You can reach out to me on Instagram. I respond to random DMs if they have questions about movies that I'm happy to talk to people about. Okay, bye.